It's time for Civic Matters on your community NPR station, which means we're going to welcome in our friend and community involvement expert, Mary Morgan from the Civ City Initiative. Good morning, Mary.
Dude, community involvement expert. That's a good title.
I just made that up on the spot. That's how Monday morning I am. I'm like right there.
That's
boom, boom, boom.
That's how good you are.
Yes, absolutely. We had a discussion about the word exogenous earlier, and now we're talking to community involvement expert, a title made up
Holy
impromptu.
Holy moly.
How are you this morning, Mary? Yeah. I'm glad to have you with us.
I am terrific. It's always good to talk with you. It's a busy week in the world of local civics, so let's get to it.
Yeah, we've talked a lot this morning already during the newscast about the Ann Arbor City Council meeting tonight to look at trying to make sure that people aren't quote-unquote cheating by parking at parking meters and just taking the fine, which actually could be as low as $10, rather than parking in a structure. So what's the good word there?
Yeah, well, I'm sure this is going to pass. They've been talking about adjusting parking rates in a lot of ways for a long time, and this is just another piece of that, raising the fines if your meter is expired from $20 that it is currently to $35, which that's a pretty steep raise. But they've done benchmark surveys, and they say that other communities basically at that range. And the rationale is that they don't want it to be less expensive for someone to pay a ticket than it would be if you parked in a parking structure.
Well, there's got to be a pain threshold, I think, for people as well, even if you're not looking to avoid the structure, that what you're willing to risk in order to park illegally. And I think for some people, $10 if you pay the reduced, or even $20 is enough of a small enough fine that that's maybe not ticking off that pain threshold, but maybe $35 will.
Yeah, and I think that this could well hit people who work downtown. It's hard to say. I just think that people need to be aware that this change is happening, assuming that it does pass tonight, because if you're not expecting it, that's a big bump.
Speaking of our area roadways, we are very proud of how people-friendly a lot of our streets are in our community, especially in Ann Arbor. The Ann Arbor Area Downtown Development Authority is looking for feedback on the People-Friendly Streets Initiative. Tell us about that.
Yeah, these are some pretty big changes potentially coming to downtown. Some improvements along the Huron Corridor downtown, which would basically improve the pedestrian experience, make the crosswalks better, add trees and whatnot. Then the one of the big changes is looking at First and Ashley Streets, which are one way north and south, and potentially making those two way. So that would be a big deal. And then the third project is on William Street and creating basically a protected bike lane of some sort. And so the DDA is putting together these forums. They've had others in the past. They're trying to make sure that people are aware and giving feedback. And the first one is tonight at the downtown library from 6 to 8 p.m.
And it kind of sounds like an interactive meeting, too. You'll be able to see these design elements and ask questions about them firsthand. That's the idea, right?
Indeed, yeah. I if there's if you don't make it tonight, they have one basically every day except Friday this week at different times during the day. So their hope is to get as much feedback as possible by offering a range of opportunities. So I think it's worth checking out. If you can't make it, go to the website a2dda.org, and there's more information there.
I think it bears repeating here, too. We've heard a lot of comment, especially in the last week, regarding public input on projects like this, specifically relating to the art project, the installation that went up on Stadium last week.
This is
us right now. Mary and I are saying, listen, if you want your voice heard, these are the opportunities. These are the places to go play a part in this conversation very early on in the process. See the potential design elements. Have your voice heard. Interact with other people. See what other people in the community you're thinking. These are the types of opportunities to get that done.
I think it's I have sympathy for people in government who are trying to make get the word out, because it is hard to get people's attention. I hope that there is some feedback on this that's meaningful, because it is a big change. And when it happens, if it happens, You know, I can already hear the outcry of like, why didn't anybody ask me? How do we not know about this?
So, yeah, why not this stream? Yeah. Why not this project? Yep. So these are the opportunities right here. The educate yourself. That is your best weapon in being part of a better democracy, is educating yourself on issues like this. Ann Arbor, the dioxin plume, the 1,4 dioxin plume. I think a lot of people know about the Gelman plume and the basics of it, but I don't think people are super thoroughly educated. We did a great series with Barbara Lucas here on WEMU as part of the Green Room, but even that, you know, it's just only scratching the surface. So I think people have a lot of questions about what it is, how it affects our community, and you've noted there's an opportunity to further educate yourself about the history of it, where it stands now, maybe the future of it, coming up soon in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, you know, this was interesting to me because it's being put on by a unit of the university called Michigan Sustainability Cases. It's part of the School of Environment and Natural Design. No, wait. It used to be SNRE. I always stumble about the new name.
Environment and Sustainability.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yes, that's it. So they are on Saturday, this coming Saturday in the afternoon, starting at 1:45, having what they're calling a community charrette. And it's a way for people to both learn more about what's happening with the dioxin plume, but also to brainstorm on design for developing educational material so that residents can be better informed about what's happening. And I think it's a great idea. You know, it's open to the public. They do ask for registration, but there's no charge. And, you know, I'm really interested in seeing what they come up with and how they deploy those materials. So that's a good opportunity. And then, of course, you know, there's a group of people that meet every month, the Coalition for Action on Remediation of Dioxin, which is a large word with the acronym CARD. And its monthly meeting is on Tuesday, tomorrow. And that's a group that, you know, really dogs this issue hats off to them for sticking with it and making sure there's some oversight locally.
So if your favorite flavor of local involvement is environmental in nature, a couple opportunities to get more information about the dioxin plume coming up this week. And I know we're going over a lot of information. Mary and I will give you at the end where you can find all this info and how you can stay abreast of the work being done there. One of the great benefits to me of technology is data. And obviously, we've heard a lot about the misuse of data, but one of the great uses of data is being shown in our emergency services departments. I had the opportunity to go to Huron Valley Ambulance and see their dispatch and look at the really cool heat maps, and they use data having to do with the day of the week and the time of the day and the weather to help position their assets so they're most readily available in the case of an emergency, and it's really improved their response times and other things like that. I see that the Ann Arbor Fire Department now has an online tool, which is data-driven, to help people understand what they do, the types of fires they fight, and the response times and things like that. Tell us a little more about that.
You know, if people are familiar with crime mapping data that's been available through the police department for a few years, this is essentially the equivalent of that for fire. So you can, as you said, it gives you a way to look at where fires occur, the types of fires that are happening, how long it takes for firefighters to respond, and a whole bunch of other data that you can slice and dice online. So, you know, it's just, I think that the more data that's available to the public, the better. And so this is just another step for that.
And I heard something about free hot dogs on Saturday as well.
What? Yep. Free hot dogs? Yep. Yeah, yep. The fire and police department, they have from time to time open houses, and there's another one on Saturday it's a great opportunity. You can, you know, bring your kids and climb on fire trucks and meet the canine folks and pups and free hot dogs and free popcorn.
So they're hitting all the hot spots for people with kids. They got the fire trucks and dogs and hot dogs and maybe some balloons and popcorn. All right, so that's both attractive to my children and to me. So I use my kids as an excuse, and we go have those kinds of fun times. If you're looking to bridge the gap between just being involved as an observer, maybe a commentator, to actually getting your hands into the mix and an advisory group, you have a couple of opportunities coming up at a county level here.
Yeah, there are three advisory groups that are, two advisory groups and then a quasi-governmental one, the Brownfield Redevelopment Authority Community Action Board and the Washita Road Commission all have openings for partial terms coming up. Deadline to apply is June 22nd, so you've got some time to check it out.
So if you any of those strike your fancy, here's how you find this information. It'll be up later this morning, very soon, as a fact, at WEMU.org, also our Facebook page. Mary, if people want to reach out to you or subscribe to your newsletter, how do they find the Civ City Initiative?
CivCity.org, and you can get a link to subscribe, and then also on our Get Involved page, you can get some more information about these items and much more.
Oh yeah, all this info and tons and tons and tons of great information compiled by Mary's group there every week for your perusal. Thank you again, Mary Morgan from the Civ City Initiative, with us every Monday here on WEMU as part of Civic Matters. This is 89.1 WEMU FM and HD1 Ypsilanti.